I'm not going to preach today on fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, or folly. But if you are doing those things, quit. Some of those things are actually easy to do, and some of those we have to work hard at. But sometimes we don't even mean to do some of those. I want to tell you a story about a church that may sound very familiar to some of you, those of you who have not always been here, who have experienced other worship communities. But I want to talk about one that is very prim and proper. Beautiful old church, wonderful architecture, lots of wood that's always just perfectly oiled. Just you walk in and you're in awe of the space. Now, sitting in the pews, you find doctors, nurses, lawyers, judges, teachers, business owners, college professors, and the mayor. It's a wealthy congregation, very well endowed. Financial security of this church, they just don't have to worry about it. Now, those who sit in those pews on Sunday are very highly respected in the community. Now, every church has traditions, some wonderful ones. This one, very high church, wonderful pipe organ. They have a grand procession that comes in every Sunday morning. Lots of people in it, from being led by a banner. Then there's what's called the first cross. We have the only cross. You know, for us, we have one that comes in. But in some, there's a first cross, torches, large robed choir, even lectors and Eucharistic ministers are vested and stay up in the chancel during the service. And then second cross, and behind the second cross comes the deacon brandishing a very shiny gospel book and any other clergy that are in possession. Now, this congregation, priest has been there a long time, 10 or 12 years, and as priests do, they have their traditions, the things that they like to do even better. Now, he really, let's say, the right one, that was the first service of the day, really preferred right one because it reminded him of the prayer book that he was trained in, the 1928, that language really spoke to him, but he did the right two service. Because he really didn't like it, he only did prayer A for those 10 or 12 years, Eucharistic prayer A. They didn't even know the rest existed, and he certainly wasn't going to do any prayer C, because that's too space-age stuff, right? And then prayers of the people, only form 6, because, of course, we know that the confession's right there. You don't have to go turning back in the book to try to find the confession. It's just right there, and so got to keep it simple. It's got to flow nicely. So for 10 or 12 years, prayer A and prayers of the people 6. Other traditions that different clergy hold on to, must be confirmed to receive Holy Communion, because that's the way it was, you know, a long time ago, but hasn't been that way even for him over decades. Every sermon, got to have traditions, right? Every sermon starts with a joke. You may have had that. You may have had that priest or that rector. Everybody loved him. Now, in this church, sitting in those pews, everybody is dressed in proper church clothing. Maybe even some remnants of still some hats from hanging on from the doily days when they'd wear little doilies on top of their head, right? So now there's still some hats there. Everybody had their pew. This, of course, was the congregation that if you sat in somebody else's seat, they would tell you and ask you to move. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But everybody in this congregation, they had their place. It was very structured. The worship was flawless. It ran like clockwork. But everything from start to finish was predictable. And because it was so predictable, it was so comfortable. It became like a security blanket. Now, this old priest, the rector, he's about to retire, and so they bring in a young priest, thinking, okay, we'll bring in a young priest because, you know, we can, they don't know anything. We can control them, right? And so we're going to work with the rector for a year and train him up to all the local traditions so nothing has to change, right? Going to teach him all that stuff. And so that's what they tried to do anyway. The young priest became the rector, but leading up to that, the priest just sat back and just soaked it in. He wanted to learn really what was going on. And what the priest saw was that they truly were warm to one another. They were family. They liked to keep it that way. Not so much on visitors, but they really wanted to keep that a tight unit. Now, also witnessed that children, that whole seen but not heard thing, that if children were there and they made a noise, then how many dirty looks could they get during a service, even so much that at the peace the family would leave and go home. Everyone must fall in line with the unwritten expectations. Traditions, how they functioned within their worship, then actually reflected how they functioned out into the world. Cold, distant, creating separation between those who were in and those who were out. And so now we have a new rector, and he sits in the rector's chair, and it's all wore out and kind of wobbly, and so he's got to get a new one. And so he rolls it out to the curb, which is what we do sometimes, and then you wait 15 minutes, and it's gone, right? Someone comes by and swipes it in. So the rector's rolling the chair out there, and up walks a kid, 14, 13, somewhere in there, and says, hey, is that chair free? Sure is. Take it. And the boy rolls it down the street, but the priest is a little curious, and so stays back and enough to kind of see where he's going with it, and he rolled it down a couple blocks to a house that really should have been condemned. It's got the lean going, but that's where that boy went and took it in the house. Now, on Sunday, that boy popped into the church, about 30 seconds, kind of that shock, oh my goodness, this guy's wearing a dress and this stuff that he just, you know, what's going on here, and he kind of runs off, but comes back at coffee hour and says to the priest, hey, do you have anything else to give away? And the priest is like, well, no, I don't have anything today, but why don't you have a cookie? And coffee hour. And you have to know that this boy's hands were unclean. Extremely, extremely black type of unclean. And so the boy goes over to the tray of cookies. And people are watching him because this is just not supposed to be going on, right? And he gets a cookie, and he's eating a cookie, and then grabs three and puts them in his coat pocket. Now, behind the priest can hear somebody say, that street rat's stealing cookies. The next Sunday, it wasn't just him, it was two boys. And they came in, and they stayed a little longer in worship, but still, they weren't sure, so they left, but coffee hour, they were there. They each had their cookie and took a couple with them. Things just keep growing. The next week, there were two dirty boys and one dirty girl. This time, they stayed through the whole service, but they don't know what's going on, right? They don't know these unspoken rules on how things are supposed to be done, you know, because these are local traditions, because you're not going to find that in the prayer book. You're not going to find you must stay in your seat all the time. It's not there. Or if you're in my seat, I'm going to ask you to move. It's not in there. So there are the traditions that we have in the church, but then every parish takes on their own. And so these boys, not the girl, the boys were bouncing over here, maybe spend a little time over here, and then they might move over here to this empty pew. And right in the middle of the sermon, one of the boys gets up and is walking down the center aisle. And the ushers are kind of panicked. Can't you see that happening? This is just, no, you don't walk up center aisle during a sermon. And sits right on the front row. This was just more than the congregation could handle. And that week, the complaints, they were trying to hold back, but they couldn't hold back anymore. They were just coming in and coming in. Their traditions were being upset. No longer did everyone dress in proper church clothes. No longer could they say that the worship was running smoothly and flawlessly. No longer was everything predictable, and they certainly weren't comfortable. This is no way to worship. Fear set in. What was going to happen to their way of life? It's kind of what's going on in the gospel today. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they're becoming very uncomfortable because things are coming very unpredictable. They had a structure that they lived by, and now we have this guy who's getting quite a following together, and he's doing things that he's not supposed to do. He's walking up the center aisle during the middle of a sermon. I mean, this is just not supposed to happen. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands, to eat with dirty hands?" That line, those words, "traditions of the elders," really caught my attention, because my mind just goes, tradition of the elders, isn't that the law? Shouldn't they be saying, "God, why are they not following God's law?" I mean, that's what I would expect there. Until you do a little digging, and those people who are really smart out there who've dug a lot more deeply than I have say, "Oh, but you see, why it says traditions of the elders is because those particular laws, they weren't written for everybody. They were written for the priests in the temple. They had all these extra things that they had to follow. But somewhere along the line, those laws that were for this group became traditions, and it spilled over, and all of a sudden, everybody else is expected to follow those too. And so they just got adopted. But the problem is, these traditions created more ways to have people separated from the chosen people to the street rats. More separation. See, the Pharisees and the scribes, had they forgotten that it was a local tradition, that it was just part of that, that it wasn't part of God's law for that to happen? Had they forgotten that they're supposed to be the light to enlighten the nations, not a nation that casts out the unclean? Jesus watched as the elite presented themselves as righteous. They could put on a show on Sunday. They were righteous. It was a great, flawless thing that was going on, but in their hearts, something was gravely different. Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition, the traditions taught to them," really, "to love their neighbor." That's the traditions that and those laws that they should have been hanging on to, right? To love. Actually, we got a good list going on in our epistle today. Just kick back and read that again, because we need to hear that again. But sick, the friendless, the needy, why not hang on to that and hang on to things that create separation? Their worship, as ours is supposed to, it's supposed to inform us and mold us so that when we leave here, we're supposed to have actions that actually resemble the words that we pray. We're to go out and to live the gospel in the world, not just say the words on Sundays. Now, what happened was, after a few pointed pieces of gospel were being told to the complainers, they had to be quiet. But it triggered something in them, because all of a sudden, family over here pulls in and adopts one child, answers their questions, walks them through the prayers and what it means. Same thing happened over here and back here. Three families taking three kids under their wing to help educate them, not complain about them. And then it wasn't long before their behavior was very different. And so, you know, if I'm their parent, that's going to rub off at home, right? And I'm going, okay, what's going on? And so the next Sunday, it wasn't just three kids. It was four kids because there was a toddler that hadn't shown up yet and both parents. What happened was supplies began to be collected. Little money says, here, can you help them? And the priest takes a little and goes and is able to actually turn on their water. Why were they unclean? They didn't have running water. It's not the only running water they experienced, because the entire family then, by the question and curiosity of a street rat, became baptized, all of them. The congregation then changed the way that they worshiped. Their expectations were more holistic and relational, not legalistic. And their worship started informing the way in which they lived in the world. Not only did they adopt this family, but all of a sudden, they're starting other ministries to reach out that reflect what they're being called to do. It's like all of a sudden, let's pay attention to the gospel. And they start responding to the world because they allowed their worship to form them, to mold them, and to be Christ in this world. Amen.